Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him." The beginning of the gospel. This is how it all began. And yet, Mark takes us right back into the Old Testament and says this is in fact fulfilling what the prophet Isaiah had said. It's not as if God is doing a new work out of the blue. It's not as if God is sending a new teacher to start a new religion for the world. No, he's been preparing the way down the centuries as recorded in the scriptures of the Old Testament. And in the last 6 months I've been preaching in the Old Testament the story of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and in the last couple of months from the Psalms. And every sermon I've tried to show that all this bears witness to Jesus Christ and through him to the New Testament. And so here too, Mark connects the beginning of the story of Jesus with the prophets of old who spoke 1,000 years before. And that's a lesson for us. God's thoughts are long thoughts. He sees the end from the beginning. The history of the world is not just a random kaleidoscope of colourful events. It may seem to us that all is happening in a disconnected way. But God will fulfill his purposes, and all that happens will fit in one way or another with the working out of his purposes of love and grace and judgment. God created the world in love and grace. It was the sin of man that has brought suffering to himself and to the animal world and to nature. But God's process of redemption did not begin just 2,000 years ago. It began right at the beginning. God brought it all into focus in completion in the coming of Jesus and will fulfill it in the last days. But it began right in the beginning. But that applies to our lives too. Our lives are seen by God from beginning to end. It was William Shakespeare, wasn't it, who said all the world is a stage, like a play being acted. There may be many scenes in the play, and this scene may not seem to be connected with that scene. And yet someone who watches the whole play will see in the end how they all fit in together. But there's a difference. We are not actors. Our life is for real. Actors can leave the stage, take off their costume, and go home. But this is for real. This is our world, which God has given us. And you and I have our part to play in it. And the Bible teaches us that in an awesome and mysterious way, God can even use the things man does wrong and bring it out of it good. And the supreme example of that is the cross of Jesus. The crucifixion of Jesus, the greatest evil done by man, and yet from it God has brought for us salvation. One man stands between the Old and the New Testaments, and that's John the Baptist. The Saviour the scriptures have been promising us has come. I'm just a messenger, going ahead to prepare the way. Prepare in the desert a straight way for the Lord. Spiritually, the world was a desert in the time of John the Baptist and the coming of Jesus. There were plenty of religious teachers, but instead of leading men to love God and know his love and obey him and his word, they laid down heavy burdens of thousands of rules and regulations, so that the religion of the day became dry and arid. In it was no water of life, no spiritual food, no bread of life. Because the religious teachers of the day had departed from the scriptures,
And they'd added on top of it their own countless human traditions. John says, in this desert, make his path straight. Life was without direction. There were no straight paths. People were drifting through life, some going this way, some that way. There were many different religious and political voices urging people to follow them. People were like sheep without a shepherd. And John came into this spiritual desert to tell people how to reach the water of life and find direction. He bore witness to one who would not baptize with water, but with the Holy Spirit, the water of life. And our society today, in 1986, needs another John the Baptist. Because we too, in one sense, have a spiritual desert. There's also a clamor of different voices, so there's a loss of direction. We need a straight path in the desert to lead us to the water of life. You and I must pray to God that in his mercy he will raise up such a man in our midst. Someone of understanding, of depth, of courage, and of love, who understands God, his word, the gospel, and the world and the way the world works, so he can act as a bridge between God and the world. We need a John the Baptist today. Who was John the Baptist? Verse 6 we read, John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt round his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. That would take the people who read it in the first century right back in their minds to someone else who had lived 1,000 years before. In 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, we read this. The king asked his messengers, what kind of man was it who came to meet you and told you this? They replied, he was a man with a garment of hair and a leather belt around his waist. The king said, that was Elijah. One of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament time, who also spoke with great courage, almost a lone voice, because the nation of Israel had in his time become a spiritual desert. The powers that be under King Ahab and Queen Jezebel had led the nation into unbelief, so that they had put aside their traditions that would remind them of God and their loyalty to him, and replaced their loyalty to God with the worship of Baal. And they replaced honesty with corruption. That's the story of Naboth's vineyard, Ahab and Jezebel, and Naboth's vineyard, a story of corruption. The story on Mount Carmel of Elijah and the prophets of Baal is the story of how King Ahab and Jezebel had taken the people away from God into idolatry. Just as we're encouraged today to put our trust in things which in the end cannot help us. As if all of life was merely pleasure-seeking, profit-making, and trade and business. Let's not have Sunday as a special day anymore. And the time had become bankrupt. It was a desert. But when Elijah, a lone figure, spoke up, the ordinary people were prepared to listen. Ordinary people were prepared to listen. His message was not a political message, it was very unpolitical. But it struck right at the consciences of the political leaders. That's the point. Same with Elijah.
I believe that, by the way, I believe that our message is not a political message, but it strikes at the conscience of political leaders. And indeed everyone, not just politicians. And John the Baptist was, his message was received by the ordinary people. Verse 5, the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. I believe that if we were to have another John the Baptist today, people would listen. In spite of all that's wrong in our country, there is a cry from the soul of society for some kind of spiritual leadership. And if it was given, people, many people, would respond. John came to announce the time that the appearing of the Messiah was near. The appearing of the Messiah again in glory and power surely cannot be long, as he promised. And how were people to prepare for him? There were three elements in John's baptism: confession, repentance, and forgiveness. We too need confession. There may be some of us here today who need to confess our sins to God and to others. In John's time, each one confessed their dishonesty or harshness or immorality or whatever it was, or bitterness, as they were baptized in the Jordan. Then secondly, there was repentance, which means turning back to the right path, to the straight path. And thirdly, there was forgiveness. Like all of us here today, need forgiveness. If we say we have no sin, have no need of forgiveness, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. The way for forgiveness, John did not yet know the full cost of it. He did not know the cross on which Jesus would die. There was another important aspect of his preaching, and that is in verse 7. And this was his message: after me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. John's message was not about himself. We read in another gospel he says, he, Jesus, must get more important, I must become less important. His message was not about himself. He was not a leader of a new cult. His message was about Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, which would be like water on a dry and thirsty ground. The water of life which would change the desert into fruit and flower and beauty. In fact, in all the scriptures, we get that prophecy that the Holy Land, the Promised Land, what we call Israel or Palestine today, would become a desert when its people were out of touch with their God. But one day God would bring them back to their land and it would bloom again and blossom. I was just reading Mark Twain's comment on his visit many years ago, of course, to the Holy Land, in which he says he's never seen such a barren and desolate land. Hardly a tree, no animals, no people, just mosquito swamp and desert. No prosperity. And yet today it produces food to export to many parts of the earth. The desert has bloomed. What does Isaiah say? The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus it will burst into bloom. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground, bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway, a straight highway in the desert will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools will not go about on it. Remember in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, we read that the earth was without form and void. In other words, the earth was like a wilderness, formless. And the Spirit of God moved over the face of the earth and brought forth vegetation, animal life, and finally human life. It's the Spirit of God, the water of life, who changes the wilderness into blossom, bloom, beauty. In our lives too, that is the work of the water of life, the Holy Spirit. We need the fruit and flowers of life, which are so often spoiled by sin. And that's the Holy Spirit's work in us. Our society must get rid and be free of the thorns of crime and drug abuse and turn to Him, who is able to change lives, young lives, from hopelessness to beauty, flower, fruit, adventure and happiness. John's message then is not about himself. He points away from himself, don't look to me, look to another. And the need of our country is not for a new denomination, not for a new religious group, not for a new church. Our need is for the old churches and the people in the churches to get back in real dedication to Jesus Christ. All of us need that. We have friends who are members of a new denomination in England. And in some ways it seems very successful. They refuse to call themselves a denomination, but that's what they are. They seem very successful. They denounce all the old churches as being dead. So they decided to start their own church. And there's been some success, and I don't deny that God is using them. But if you read their literature, it's all about themselves. Their group, their movement, is God's answer to the problems of Britain. No, it's not that. It's Jesus who is the answer. We don't need new groups. It's not this group or that group or this man or that man who's the answer. It's for us all to turn to Jesus in full commitment. John did not start a new denomination centered on himself. He pointed people away from him to Jesus and said that this was a turning back too to the old scriptures, which were fulfilled in Jesus. We, like John, must prepare the way for the Lord. We can't change the whole world. The church won't solve all the world's problems. But we must prepare the way for the Lord to do our part in preparation for that great day when He brings all things into their proper place. You and I have our part to play in that. We need to get straight with God through confession and repentance. Seek from Jesus the water of life. And through prayer and Bible study and praying for our country and nation and world, to prepare the way for the Lord. May God bless us all. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, may we, in our families, in our village, in our work, live in such a way that a way for you to draw nearer to men is made. May we never be a hindrance, a roadblock to the coming of the Lord to others. Instead, may our lives, by your grace, be open so that others too may come to him who is the fountain of the water of life, even Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.